That's the perfect song from Kit this morning. In addition to celebrating her birthday today, she is taking a step on the road that lies ahead of her now. Professionally, she has graduated now, as of Friday, from the Centers for Spiritual Living's School of Spiritual Leadership. And here are some screen grabs from that night. I know a lot of you watched that online as it was happening. I did. And gosh, that girl was just full of light and joy. And she was just filled to overflowing. And so were we watching her. Kit, we're so proud of your hard work and your accomplishments. And we celebrate this amazing milestone with you. I can say for myself and for the rest of us that it's been an incredible gift to be on this journey with you through your studies, through your internship, through the growth that comes, the transformation that comes from this course of not only study, but pursuing one's life vocation. So, Kit, we love you and bless you, and we look forward to everything that you create in the future on the road that lies ahead. We're just so, so happy and proud. Congratulations to you, my friend, my colleague, our leader. Thank you for everything that you are. We know that not only are you being a minister as a vocation, it is who you are, and we celebrate that. I'm going to read to you this morning the prayer of faith that I read to you last week as we talked about strength. But the title of this little prayer from Hannah More Cohouse, which was written back in the late 1800s, and first published in the We Wisdom magazine that used to be a Unity publication for children, is called The Prayer of Faith. And let me share these words with you again, because I think it's a prayer that is timeless and eternal. God is my help in every need. God does my every hunger feed. God walks beside me, guides my way through every moment of this day. I now am wise, I now am true, patient and kind and loving too. All things I am, can do, and be, through Christ the truth that is in me. God is my health, I can't be sick. God is my strength, unfailing, quick. God is my all, I know no fear. Since God and love and truth are here. And if you would like to hear this spoken by Myrtle Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, you can go to YouTube and just put in Prayer of Faith, Myrtle Fillmore, and you can hear her sweet little voice recorded decades ago as she reads this prayer, and it brings a whole different feeling to it than from what I read this morning, or from what it is like when we sing it. So if you get a chance, listen to Myrtle. You'll like it. So the title of the talk today is Faith in the Journey, and it occurred to me that there's two ways we can look at that. We can look at faith as an attribute that we take with us in our journey, because faith lives in us already. The other way we can look at it is faith in the journey. In other words, the journey that we're on, we can trust it, no matter what's happening. I know that it took a long time for me to realize that the arc of my life was perfect. Every part of my story was perfect. The good narratives, the not-so-pleasant narratives, the mistakes I made, which really are choices that we make with what we have, with the best of us in the moment. So in other words, there aren't really any mistakes, there are choices that we make that we have an opportunity to rectify. And it adds to our understanding, it adds to our wisdom, it adds to who we are on the way. And I think if you look back at your journey, you will see that faith brought you all the way to this point. You may not have realized that's what was happening at the time, but if you look at your story, and your story is important, and every story is important and unique, if you look at your story, you'll see that everything has brought you to where you are today. Sometimes it's hard for us to reconcile that because we've done things that we feel like we can't undo. And what's important for us, as it says in the Daily Word, is not the thing itself, but how we respond to it, how we handle it, how we turn it into something that teaches us, that touches us, that allows us, even in some cases, to make living amends by living differently than the way we were living when we did that thing we wish we wouldn't have done. You see, 12-step programs talk about living amends. And that's about living your life like you really mean it. Living your life like your apology, your regret, your I wish I'd done that differently is sincere, so you do it differently. Do you see how that's different from keeping on doing the same thing that you've done and saying that's just the way I am? And we have to be careful with that statement because our I am is important. And how we identify ourselves with that I am influences the way we move through life. So if you tell yourself, oh, I'm sick, I've always been sick, I'm always going to be sick. It's true that you may have a condition in your body that won't change. But it's also true that how you live with that is the exercise of your faith. It's exercising your faith muscle, if you will. To live with grace. Haven't you seen people who have had devastating things happen to them in life that emerge from that after a short period of time or a long period of time? They emerge as some of the most inspiring people you've known. Not in spite of what happened to them, but because of what happened to them. They have become anew. And we have that choice every day. We think we don't, but we do. And although faith lives in us and we activate it by a variety of our powers, the power of will, the power of imagination, the power of wisdom, even the power of love, we activate that faith so that we move through our lives experiencing maybe a little less fear, which is what the opposite of faith is. It's fear. I want to talk about that for a moment. Because fear is an underlying motivation for us a lot of the times in our lives. And it's toxic. And it clouds our judgment. And it doesn't allow us to live in faith. And we mask it with other things. We mask it with anger. We mask it with self-pity. We mask it with entitlement. We mask it with greed. But if we look underneath all of that, we have fear. The fear monster. And why wouldn't that be true? We're conditioned as children. We're conditioned to be afraid of things. Some of that is a healthy fear, a healthy caution. Some of it is a little neurotic, depending on the environment in which we grew up. So let me just propose this to you. Let's look at the story of this spiritual community. Let's look at that. almost we're getting up to almost 15 months ago. Almost 15 months ago, we closed our doors along with everybody else in the world, at least everybody else in the United States. We closed our doors. And we did that as an act of faith, knowing that it was a temporary condition, and with faith that we would thrive in spite of it and thrive because of it. We didn't know how long it would be. We didn't know how it would look. We certainly didn't expect it to go on as long as it went on. And we watched what happened and learned what could happen by observing other people and other organizations around us in the world. Do you remember when we talked about super spreader events, where people would come together in unsafe ways and then a bunch of people would get sick from it? And so one of the things that we did here was weigh the health of our spiritual community with safety. And now it seems like all at once it was like slow, 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 consider, consider, get some new facts, pivot, reconsider, get some new facts, pivot again, reconsider, just ask any member of the board or staff. That's what we've been doing for 15 months. Working with our tech crew, pivot, reconsider, be creative, try this. Whoops, we had a glitch here, so let's try this. All this time. But underneath that, like a deep bass note, was faith. That the pandemic was temporary. So think about this, my friends. 15 months out of your lifetime. 15 months out of the life of this nation. 15 months out of the universe, which is a microsecond of a blink. 15 months. Seems like forever, but it's not that long in the scheme of things. And so now all of a sudden, we've got a massive amount of vaccinated people. We have new guidelines from the CDC. We've had a trial run outdoors with our Saturday Mother's Day service. And now we're going to open up and have in-person services again the first Sunday in June. Listen to my words, watch my lips. The first Sunday in June. Not today, not next week, the week after that. So keep looking for that link, because we will open it up for you and we will say the link is open for you to make your reservation. Because we're doing it on a limited seating, reservation only, and a masked gathering. Out of an abundance of caution, rather than throwing caution to the wind. Now, I want to tell you how faith is at work in this. Do we have faith that people will be safe here? Yes, we do. Do we have faith that each one of you, in addition to your personal choices, is also looking out for the greater good of all people here? Yes, we do have faith that that's who you are. Do we have faith that we can protect the most vulnerable among us, the people that can't get vaccinated? Yes, we do have faith that we can protect them, and we're asking your cooperation in doing that. Because we're asking you to have faith that we're making wise choices. Are you listening? I know that it's been difficult to be patient. that it's been difficult to have faith in your leadership, that it's been difficult to have faith that we will reopen. I know it's been difficult. But here's what I want to say to you. Either you have faith that we are returning to whatever normal is going to look like at a pace that benefits all. Can you make that choice in faith that your spiritual community is looking out for all? Can you do that? And if you're saying, nope, I want to do it the way I want to do it, then I would ask you to reconsider. Is the way you want to do it the best for everybody else? Because we are not just a little collection of individuals here. When we come together, especially when we come together, we've experienced what it's like to come together when we're apart. But when we come together here, we're more than a collection of individuals. We become one body. We're instructed to become one body with all its different parts. That is an act of faith. Oh my goodness, Jesus taught it so many times. That which you do to the least of me, you've done also to me. So I would ask you to consider taking care of the least of us so that we can take care of all of us. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Did Forrest Gump say that? Was that Forrest Gump? I think I just quoted Forrest Gump on a Sunday morning. Forrest Gump the wise. We knew that we would come back together. And we have faith that whatever normal is going to look like in our worlds again, it will be okay. Because it always is. It always is. It's always okay. It's whether or not we choose to cooperate with okay. You see, just because the way things are doesn't look like the way we thought they were going to doesn't mean that they're bad. Just because things don't look like the way we thought they were going to doesn't mean that other people are bad. It just means that we're working through things the best way we can with the information we have, with every consideration that we have to bring that which is best for all. So, believe me, beloved, normal is going to look different out there in the world. It will have the veneer of sameness. But I was just reading an article this morning about people who actually had the virus, who've lost their sense of smell, have never gotten it back, or when they've gotten it back, the signals are all confused so that things don't smell the way they used to. And the smell center in our brain is very close to the emotional center in our brain. So you can imagine what that's doing to people. And so that makes my heart ache a little bit. Because that means not only have they lost their sense of smell, their sense of taste is now affected as well. And so to lose two of your five senses is kind of a big deal. So when we do come back together with each other, we don't know the circumstances of anybody else's life. We may know a lot, or we may know none. But this requires us to open our hearts in faith beyond our own experience and entertain the possibilities of everyone else's experience. If you had lost two of your five senses, would you not want understanding and compassion and patience? Would you not want understanding and compassion and patience for your emotional state? Would you not, if you came back, but you were cautious and a little contracted to be around other people because you've been isolated for a while, can we all be patient with each other while we move through what that feels like? Can we have faith that we can do it together? Can we? Can we do that? When I was watching Kit's ceremony the other night, it was so lovely to see her and her colleagues graduating and to listen to the Centers for Spiritual Living recite what their creed is, what their statement of faith is. And it reminded me of what we're about in New Thought. It reminded me of my own journey through the training to become a minister. And it does not matter what form you take it in. I had a 2-year intensive program preceded by some layperson's training that qualified me to go to seminary. I had a 2-year intensive. Kit's done it remotely and in person over a longer period of time. Our friend Maggie Alderman did it another way. And it doesn't matter how you do ministerial school or seminary, you are transformed. You become new. And it's a powerful experience, and it was so lovely to watch her and to remember my own journey. And the speaker that night said that ministry is not just what you do, it's who you are. And I graduated from ministerial school 29 years ago next month. It's the longest that I've ever done a thing in my life. And I can't imagine being anybody else than what I am right now. And I'll have to tell you that along that journey, it was like this and this and this. And then peaks that were just ecstatic and the lowest of lows. But for the most part, it's been up here as a joyful experience. And that is sustained throughout any challenges, any of the daily, sometimes drudgery of ministry, just like any job. The job becomes drudgery every now and then, but the vocation never is. It's always a joy. And so if I look back to 1988, when I got an actual call to ministry, out of the blue, totally surprised me. I could see in hindsight that I'd been leading up to that moment. But I remember clearly I was at Unity Village. I was in the middle of a meditation class, and we were supposed to meditate every evening and then journal about it and then share it. And so I went out for my meditation one night. Some of you have heard this story. And I went out to the Lowell Fillmore Garden at Unity Village. Lowell Fillmore was one of the sons of Charles and Myrtle. Designed this beautiful little pocket garden with a fountain. And I sat down on a bench under a tree, and I was just like, oh, this is so wonderful. And I was like, are there chiggers out here? Because I'm feeling kind of itchy. And so I was kind of scratching, you know, and oh, it was not comfortable. So I moved to another bench under a different tree, and then tree trash started falling on me. And I was like, my home. What is going on here? You know, it's like, you know, it was disconcerting. So it's getting very frustrated. And I can just tell you, if you don't know already, that when you're frustrated, you can't meditate. They don't coexist. So I went to the fountain. I laid down on the ledge of the fountain. And I laid there looking up at the sky. And I was so frustrated because I couldn't meditate. God, I want to meditate. Make me meditate. And I started having like that country song about tears in my ears, lying in my bed, crying over you. I was laying there with my head, and the tears were just falling into my ears because I was so frustrated. And then it got really, really quiet. And I heard a voice that wasn't a voice say, you're going to serve me for the rest of your life. I was like, what? You're going to serve me for the rest of your life. Okay. What does that, don't think about what it means. You know. So I walked back to my little cottage at the village, thinking upon these things, pondering these things in my heart, like Mary did when the angel came to visit her with some surprising news. And I was changed from that day forward. And my focus then became doing what I needed to do to go to ministerial school, and you know the rest of the story. And so it was faith in that moment to say yes that brought me to this moment here today. Wow. 33 years ago. It'll be 33 years ago next month. And it was that act of faith to say yes then that brought me here. Look at your life. Look at where you said yes in faith, maybe not knowing what it looked like, and it brought you to where you are now. So hindsight is the easy part. It reminds us, and hopefully it gives us motivation to then carry that faith forward in our journey, knowing that our yeses today to whatever is going on in our lives, our yeses in faith, take us to whatever is coming out there in the future that we can't yet see. And I think that's a wonderful plan God gave us, not letting us see all the way down the road. Because sometimes if we knew what was out there, we wouldn't want to go. In other cases, if we knew what was out there, we'd want to hurry up and get there. But you see, we walk with faith in the journey. We walk with faith in the journey. We walk with faith in the journey. That's what we're about. So, beloved, we're about to come back together with each other again. And I ask that you say yes. Because we'll have some rules. We'll have some restrictions. And you may chafe at them. You may embrace them. You may not want to come at all. Because you're just not ready. And that's okay. You know how to find us. Because we're going to keep doing online forever, she said with faith. But no matter what, you know, I could make a whole month of sermons about this. No matter what, we're going to move forward with each other. Our collective faith will make that journey a lot easier and a lot more joyful. Because it is all good. As Kit says, it's all good because it's all God. It can't be anything but God. She says that in almost every prayer I hear her say. I've heard it enough that now it has become part of me. Her words in me. So as we begin our meditation this morning, I'm going to read to you yet again the words that I read to you last Sunday about who you are. And these are the words to help guide you into your meditation. If you're feeling frustrated, just say, yes, God, I'm here. Even in my frustration, I'm here. Here I am. It's that old song, here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I can hear you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, where you lead me. That's what we're doing. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repeating. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, years, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild goose high in the clean blue air, wild geese, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. So, beloved, whatever you're feeling this day, bring it to the altar of your consciousness here. Imagine that deep within you is a beautiful table made of whatever material you choose. It's your holy place, this table. It's an altar. And you're going to take all the things that you're feeling right now. Maybe you're feeling numbness. Maybe you're feeling uncertain. Maybe you're feeling angry. Maybe you're feeling rebellious or sad. Maybe you're feeling your joy. Maybe you're feeling excitement. Maybe you're feeling the vibration of your breath as you take the next one, not knowing for sure what's lying ahead of you. That anticipatory. And I want you to take all those feelings and lay them on your beautiful altar table. Just lay them there. You're not giving them away. You're just placing them there for now. This is a place where you're showing the very depths of you, where spirit dwells. Everything that is you, it is known to spirit anyway. But our surrender of everything is vital to our healthy experience. Tell me of your despair, years, and I'll tell you mine. Just lay it there on that altar table, that beautiful table. Say, here is who I am today. These are my feelings today. This is the temporary me. Now, Spirit, lay your power upon it so that I may say yes to all of it. Yes. I notice that even if it's as small as that mustard seed, your faith is calling out to you to let it grow. To know that wherever you are in your life today, it is but one step upon the journey. It is a page, a chapter in your story, and it is a good story. Are you beginning to feel a little bit of relief from that which has captured you, ensnared you, and held you tight? Just let it go with faith and see what it turns into with your yes. The master teacher Jesus said, "Become as a little child." Because children still have that element of faith in which they experience wonder and joy and newness in all things. Faith is that in you that takes your day from, "Oh no, here we go again," into, "Oh God, what is waiting for me today? What joy, what miracle, what will unfold today from your vast universe into my life?" Just breathe, beloved. Breathe. Let your shoulders relax. Know that work is being done in you right now, this very moment. You don't have to make it happen. Have faith that it is. And I extend my hands and open my eyes to you today because we all need a companion on the journey. One that we can feel and touch and see. And soon, we will be together. And what joy we will have. But for now, here are my hands. I'll walk with you. And know that besides my hands, all the people in your community, in this spiritual family, they're extending their hands too. We're holding each other. How blessed are we? And so with all this, we say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let my yeses continue to flow forth from me in faith on my journey. And so it is, and so it is. Amen.